Welcome in to the newest edition of Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. My name is Joshua Briscoe, getting you everything you need to know from what happened in St. Joe. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. I think that's our new tagline. I think that is ours now. Trademark, my intellectual property. Welcome in, everything you need to know from St. Joe. You may say, well, wait a second. Joshua, there was no practice today in St. Joe. There's no reason for this show to... How dare you? How dare you? No, there was no practice in St. Joseph today. The Chiefs were off. But we are not, and nor should we be, because we have a bunch of things that you should be hearing about from St. Joe. Yesterday on the show, we had a whole weekend to comb through. We didn't have a chance to get to Dave Tobe, Eric Fisher, Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, or Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. And I've got another topic that I've unpacked a little bit more earlier today. So we have a full packed show for you here tonight. Don't go anywhere. And if you do miss any of it, you can always get all of Chiefs Central on 810WHB.com. Go to the podcast page, additional programming, and they will all be right there also. I tweet them all from at Sports Radio 810 and from at JB Briscoe. You can always tweet your questions and comments to either of those accounts throughout a show, and I'll respond to them whenever we can get to them. But tonight we're going to get to all those guys I just mentioned, but there was a specific topic that I was starting to unpack a little bit more earlier today over on ESPN Kansas City. I have a show over there every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m., 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. And the topic was honestly something that we had started to understand a little bit last night, talking about Bob Sutton. Last night we heard from Bob Sutton, we heard from Justin Houston. Both of those clips gave us a lot to talk about. But I wanted to make sure that we are totally clear on a very interesting topic here with Sutton and the Chiefs. There's a reasonable question being asked by a lot of people in the Chiefs kingdom, if you will. It's, is this defense better this year? And as we were going through this over on Almost Entirely Sports earlier today, which is the name of the show, on ESPN Kansas City, in case you missed it, I basically came up with 13 guys that were main defensive contributors in the Chiefs' playoff loss to the Titans last year. And throughout this list, I would say the Chiefs got worse at one position, held their own at three, and got better everywhere else. I wasn't sold on the Chiefs bringing back Bob Sutton. I'm still not sure that was the right move. I really don't know. And I have a hard time convincing myself one way or another that I know for sure just yet. Because what the Chiefs believed, as I will illustrate here momentarily, is that last year's defensive struggles were not about Bob Sutton. They were about the guys that Bob Sutton was using. Again, could it have been both? I sure think so. Was last year's set of defenders perfect? Was it a tremendous all-pro set of guys in that playoff game? Absolutely not. Did Bob Sutton do everything that he could have done? I'm not sure. I would probably argue that he didn't. But the Chiefs decided to make one change. As far as either personnel or coaching, they changed the personnel in an unfathomable way. I feel like this is something that we don't talk about enough yet. People talk about a lot of turnover and bringing in a bunch of rookies and bringing in Breland Speaks and Dorian O'Daniel and guys like that. But I mean starters. So let's do this exercise. It's not exactly a starting 11 because the Chiefs play sub packages a lot, and Kevin Pierre-Lewis was a guy that got a lot of tackles in that Titans game. He was on the field a lot. I was looking at the stats earlier. I've now streamlined a better system, so you don't have to worry about it. If you want more, though, you can go listen to the Almost Entirely Sports podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But it's also easy for me to make there be at least 12 guys on this defense, because I want to look at the base defense and then also their nickel. And so, Darrell Revis, Steven Nelson, those guys, only one of those guys would be on the field in a base package. But whenever you have three corners out there, as the Chiefs do the majority of the time, you need to count both of those guys. And Kevin Pierre-Lewis also had a pretty big role, especially in the playoffs. So let's look at what the defense was at the end of last year. Allen Bailey, Benny Logan, Chris Jones... That was your front three in a base defense. Allen Bailey is still here. That seems like pretty much a wash. I can't say that he's aged poorly or gotten healthier and will be better. I think Allen Bailey's pretty much the same. Benny Logan has been replaced by both Derek Nnadi and Xavier Williams. This is an improvement. Chris Jones is going into yet another season, apparently down a bunch of weight and looking like an outside linebacker. I'm willing to give Chris Jones the nod as a guy who's gotten better at his position. Two out of those three down lineman spots up front, the Chiefs have gotten better. Not just depth, but also with their starters, especially with depth, though. I think I might take Xavier Williams in a vacuum over Benny Logan right now. I probably would. Also, adding Derek Nye to that rotation, that one's easy. At corner, it's Darrell Revis, Steven Nelson, and Marcus Peters. Now, Kendall Fuller is a very good corner who I've spoken very highly of since the Chiefs made this trade, but right now, that's a downgrade up against Marcus Peters. It just is. Peters is one of the guaranteed top five corners in football. He was with the Chiefs throughout his entire career. He's been that guy. Kendall Fuller being expected to be better than Marcus Peters this year is an unfair expectation to put upon Kendall Fuller. So as much for Kendall Fuller's sake as my own sanity's sake, that's a downgrade. Maybe not a ton, but it is. Now, depending on how you want to put it, I guess you're going to go ahead and put Steven Nelson as a guy who continued just to be on this team. He's a wash. He moves outside. And I would say that the Chiefs have improved that third corner spot going from Darrell Revis, which is what it was in the playoff game, to David Amerson. I've been very hard on David Amerson. You could probably put that as a question mark for, you know, how Steven Nelson developed and is Darrell Revis versus David Amerson an improvement. I would say yes, a slight one. Justin Houston is an improvement because, as we heard him say on this show yesterday, he was playing on one leg last season, in his own words. So now Justin Houston, healthy, that's another improvement on this defense. Derek Johnson has been replaced by Anthony Hitchens. That's an improvement. Also, Anthony Hitchens is taking Kevin Pierre-Lewis's snaps because Hitchens is comfortable whenever he has to be in coverage, more so than Derek Johnson or Reggie Ragland were last year. So Hitchens improves over two guys by himself in this group. Reggie Ragland has another season in this system, another offseason. As long as he stays healthy, I'm a little bit worried about his knee. Been worried about his knee since the Chiefs said it was no big deal. I'm always a little worried whenever that happens. But if he's out there, another year of him is another improvement. Frank Zombo is improved upon by the return of Dee Ford, by the addition of Breland Speaks, by the development of Tano Passanio. That pass rusher spot is improved upon from what we saw in the Titans game last year. Daniel Sorensen is still probably your number two safety, but Eric Murray is replaced by Eric Berry. That's an improvement as well. Middle of the defense, defensive end. Pass rusher, inside linebacker. Amerson over Revis. Murray being replaced. Eric Murray being replaced by Eric Berry. There are at least half a dozen spots here that I feel like are inarguably better off right now than they were last year. So as I was saying earlier today, that Bob Sutton has gotten a reloaded defense, and now he gets the hot seat. Not that he's in danger of being fired partway through the season or whatever, but now he is under the microscope because his job performance now is excuseless. He's got all the tools he could want. This is as good as you could build a defense realistically, especially in one off season. This is Bob Sutton's year. For better or for worse, it is. And I'm fascinated by what he could do with that. One of the guys that I mentioned that is a huge part of this defense this year is the guy who is now in the middle, Anthony Hitchens. He talked to the media out in St. Joe, and again, I don't know if you can possibly even overstate what it is that he has impact-wise on this defense, because he's both taking Derek Johnson's role and Kevin Pierre-Lewis's role. He's taking the middle of this defense. He's also supposed to stay on the field in passing situations. Anthony Hitchens is a huge part of this defense, and he was asked out at camp what drew him to Kansas City.
I spoke on this earlier in the spring. It was when Veach was trying to get me last year from the Cowboys. It made my decision, I know, a lot easier, and he told me what type of players that he wanted, and it fit my category. You know, he wanted hard-nosed players that work hard and aggressive and want to play and love to play ball. So that right there was exactly what I wanted in a team, and I have it everything here. And then the other fact that you called my agent and called the Cowboys and trying to get me here last year during training camp. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then once free agency started, you know, he came right back at me again. So it made my decision a lot easier. And I know a couple of players that came through the system and talked to them about it. I don't know if y'all remember Justin March, the linebacker here last year. He's with the Cowboys now. he explained it to me how the people here are, how the coaches, how the players are, and it's similar to what I'm used to. So it made the decision a lot easier.
What do you see your, or how do you see your role? I mean, obviously it's earlier on, but I'm assuming that's one of the things that sold you on this too, is your role in this defense. How do you see that?
My role can change. And it just depends on the week, the situation, or what we're in. But my role right now, as for me, it's just to get better. And it's to learn the system best I can, and learn as many positions as I can. I did that my whole career. I always learned all three positions when I was playing in the 4-3. Harris is three positions, but it's just a different terminology. But, yeah, it's just to learn as much as I can, soak it all in, and work hard. And then week one, I could tell you more of my role, and as the season goes on.
Anthony, can you, in terms of understanding and learning,
can you
kind of explain your studying process coming from one team to a new team and trying to get as acclimated as you can?
Oh, yeah. It's simple. You got to start all over. OTAs, I got a whole new notebook, all the new install, mini camp. I got to do all that way, start it over again, a whole new notebook, a whole new install. I'm sure Mark is tired of getting me installed, the new notebooks. But I think I'm on number three right now. So every time we start all over, OTAs, and we take the break, the mini camp, we start it over again, the camp. So now I got another new book. So we install it now, and I got a whole new notebook and a whole new install. So every time we start over, so it won't be until next year, I'll probably throw away this one and get a whole new one. So it's easier for me to start all over and write them all down over again, and then I'm just going to pick up on different stuff.
How many pages do you think you've gone through so far?
Oh,
if you combine all the notebooks,
I probably finish a regular notebook every time.
Like 100 pages.
Yeah, I take notes every single day. Meetings are roughly 2.5 hours. Especially when I first got here and I didn't know anything, so the notes are getting shorter. I can tell you that. So that's a good thing. I'm learning some, but I'm still not where I need to be. I know enough, but it's never enough. So I just got to keep on it.
One of the things that you wanted to work at training camp was just getting used to Reggie, you know, in the middle. That hasn't been able to happen. Is that a little bit frustrating for you, just not being able to play with the starter?
No, not frustrated at all. I don't want to speak much on his injury, but he's going through something right now. Just take his time, get healthy, and we have time. I've been going on my fifth year. I had injuries like that. It slowed me down. Just get healthy, because there's no use to rushing back and you know, not healthy, and you know, and pull something else or something like that. So it's not frustrating for me. We're still learning in the classroom together as a group, and me and him still talking, we still communicate, sit next to each other, meeting. So it'll come around. There's no rush. We have time.
How has it been with Ligway Smith, who's filling in for him right now?
It's good. It's good for everyone. For them to get a chance to go get some ones. And it's good for them. The tempo's a little faster, you know, get caught up and things like that. But they played in games last year. I seen film where both of them was on the field. So those are pros, and we have a lot of pros in our linebacker room. So we just all got to just continue growing.
Anthony, you've been in the league a long time. What's it do to a defense when they don't consistently stop the run, particularly in critical things? And why is it so important for a defense to be able to control the line of scrimmage like that?
Yes, it's always important to stop the run, because if a team can run, then they can pass, and then they can do whatever they want. So if we make a team one-dimensional with Dee Ford and Houston on the edge, and everyone knows it's a pass, 9 times out of 10, I know the odds are in our favor. So stopping the run, getting the third and longer situations when everybody and whoever watches football know it's going to be a pass, getting those situations to make our defense a lot better.
Anthony, a couple more guys.
For a veteran guy like you who's played a lot of football, what's the benefit of the preseason games? What's the biggest thing you take away from each of those games?
Yeah, you haven't played football in a while, you know. And the team that didn't make the playoffs, it was done in January, you know, it's been a while. And it's just, for especially new guys, either rookies or incoming free agents, just to get more reps, more live reps, you know. Coaches don't want to do too much live in camp, maybe a couple days here and there. So it's just getting a live rep, you know. You know you're practicing but not tackling. It's a different tempo when it's, you know, you get tackled or you know you're tackling. So it's just, for me, I take it as I'm just trying to get live reps of running the defense and the game speed. Maybe it's not a whole game, maybe it's a half or a drive, but I still get the, you know, the reps that I need for week one.
What do you like or enjoy
enjoy most with your conversations with Brett, and what leads you to have such respect for him to be reciprocated? Brett Veach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do you like about him, and why is your guys' respect for one another reciprocated to this degree?
Yeah, it's he has the same mindset as a lot of us. We all have the same intention. We all have the same goals. We all want to work hard. We all want to win. He brought a lot of good guys here that like to work hard, and that's the main thing. The way they set this organization up, and the players that they brought in, and the coaches, and the people that work in this organization, everyone is like tied together, and everyone's good people, so it's easy to work with. So he did a tremendous job with that, and I'm just looking forward to it.
Anthony, last one, Lane. Go ahead.
When you talk about stopping the run, what's been sort of your feel of some of those guys in front of you on the D line? Whose job it is to sort of eat up those blocks and keep guys off you?
Yeah, they're doing a good job. Obviously, we all have to. It all ties in. It's not just the guys up front. It's linebackers. It's the safeties. It's the corner. Everyone has to tackle. This league is making a lot of corners tackle, cracking plays, bringing receivers down, cracking linebackers, getting outside. So it's going to take all 11. Most people think it starts up front. Honestly, in my mind, it starts up everywhere. It's all 11. It starts everywhere. One guy moves out of his lane or his assignment, it could gash you. So for me, it takes 11 guys to stop the run.
That's Anthony Hitchens' new cornerstone of this Chiefs defense. I don't think that's an exaggeration. And his attitude and his traits, both physically and mentally, both seem to be exactly what you want from a modern NFL inside linebacker. He's not out there wearing one of those, like, those neck pads. He's not wearing a neck roll or one of those big, like, plates that goes up behind your helmet to stabilize any big hits, because he's a guy out there moving in the coverage. He's out there to fill the gaps in the run defense, but he's also there to be a linebacker that can be out there all three downs, more so even than Reggie Ragland. Reggie Ragland gets the downhill thumper label put on him, which is a huge thing to have in a defense. But man, if Anthony Hitchens is able to stay on the field and be the guy for the Chiefs in this situation, he's going to be a huge addition to this team. This is Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe, letting you know everything that you need to know about the Chiefs on a daily basis, nightly basis, whatever. Throughout training camp, we are here. Whenever we come back, we'll take another look at another member of this defense, a new guy who also sets up in the middle, Kansas City native Xavier Williams. We'll hear from him next year on Chiefs Central. Welcome back to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, letting you know everything that you need to know from St. Joe. Again, I didn't really mean for that to rhyme, but it did. So we're going to take it. We're going to take the free rhymes where you can get them. And we have several things I want to make sure you get to hear tonight, so we'll get right to Xavier Williams. He's another one of the big free agent additions for the Chiefs. Now, his addition seemed slightly less impactful after the Chiefs drafted Derek Nnadi. I think Derek Nnadi in the middle there to be that nose tackle in a 3-4 base defense, he might be the more long-term plan, but Xavier Williams, certainly not an elderly football player by any means, and those two guys working together in the middle of this defense, I think it's an enormous step up. I don't know if we've seen anything like this, if we'll have seen anything like this from the Chiefs since the pre-back injury, Dontari Poe, I suppose. Not that either of these guys will be Dontari Poe. I don't know that. They probably won't have that kind of pass-rushing ability that Poe had, especially before his injury. But the rotation of Nnadi and Xavier Williams is going to be fantastic for this defense. And Xavier Williams spoke to media in St. Joseph, Missouri at Chiefs training camp. And he started off by talking about having friends and family who are in town for camp.
Yeah, I have. It was kind of funny. Like, just people don't really tell me. Just like a lot of people just kind of run into them. I'll just see them in the crowd, signing after practice. Guys just kind of run up. I had one like a kid I went to high school with, some people that I grew up with just showed up, but other people were just like friends that played football with my brother, like down the road in Northwest, they kind of showed up, but yeah, been interesting.
So a lot of surprises.
Yeah, a lot.
Did your brother brag about his national championship ring?
You know, here and there, but hey, you get over it. Yeah.
What's it like being a Chief?
Oh, man, it's amazing, you know. A lot of guys grow up dreaming about whatever their childhood team was, you know, getting a chance to play, you know, and a few guys get an opportunity to play in the NFL, you know, but even still, rarely do they get an opportunity to really come home and enjoy, you know, home-cooked meals, seeing all the family and everything. So, yeah, it's been amazing.
You were brought here because, obviously, there were some problems with run defense. And, you know, you're kind of symbolizing sort of that push. Through camp so far, you guys feel a little bit better about where you're headed in that regard?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, it's still early, but we know what we need to improve on. We know where were deficiencies last year. We know what we need to attack. That's something that the coaches, the players, everybody keeps at the front of their mind. You know, you want to be physical, you want to stop the run. You just got to get after it, come out every day. And, you know, Coach Reed runs a practice where he allows you to get physical and really going to push each other around.
Reggie talked a lot about that. Has he been frustrated in the rooms or, you know, just trying to sort of act as a leader in that regard, even though he, you know, really can't perform right now?
Yeah, he's been around. He's been talking to guys, you know, doing all he can. You know, when you're in a position like that, we can't really get on the field. Your main job is just, you know, try to keep the energy up, you know, stay lighthearted, keep everybody focused. You know, you just don't want anybody getting too down, especially as early as it is in camp right now. You just, you know, do whatever you can. I think that's kind of what he's been doing until he can get back out there.
You talking about the talent level on the defensive front?
I think we got a good defensive front. I mean, everybody across the board, you know, Chris Jones, young, going to be an animal as he keeps getting older. Alan Bailey, a vet, a proven vet. Been doing it for a while. You know, I'm trying to match with those guys and bring it to the table. Yeah, just everybody. I'm really excited to see what these guys do.
What's been your observation of some of the young guys, like Naughty and D-Line?
They're coming along. I mean, talented guys, you know, especially playing on the defensive line or in the line in general, it's a harder thing to kind of get used to because it's a completely different game from college. You know, you're not just bigger, stronger, throw people around however you want. So, you know, they're picking it up. They just got, you know, they learned about leverage and, you know, maintaining your technique throughout the entire play. But they're coming along pretty good. I mean, they're going to be good. They're going to be useful for us this year.
What did you know much about Anthony Hitchens and what have you learned from him since you guys have become teammates?
I mean, he went to Iowa. I don't want to say team or not. So. But, I mean, I knew a little bit about him. But, you know, it was since we got here around the same time. We were talking stuff in the cafeteria, everything like that. And, you know, you get to see him play. I mean, got some dog in him. That's really about all you need to say about him.
Somebody said something about him being just all football all the time. Is that what you've seen from him? I mean, personality?
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk to him here and there. He talks about some other stuff, but I think, yeah, he's a guy, when it's time to get locked in, he is 100% locked in, no distractions, period.
Andrew, when you were growing up, who did you root for on the Chiefs? Who were your favorite guys?
All-time favorite player, which I'm going to assume is pretty much everybody from my age, Derek Thomas. And then, you know, I remember those teams in the 90s and early 2000s, crazy with talent. Dante Hall, Priest Holmes, Tony G, you know, had all the old linemen. But my favorite, yeah, by far, just Derek Thomas.
Did you spend much of the summer in Kansas City versus other off seasons?
Yeah, I mean, my family's here. All just in the Midwest in general, so I'm kind of like at center location. So I didn't really have a need to travel anywhere to go see anybody. Did all my training here. You know, I'm kind of guy where I'm going to be at is where I'm going to be the whole time.
Hey, did you get to go to games when you were a kid?
Oh yeah, all the time. You know, went to a bunch of them. We got to see some. Yeah, it was a good time. A lot of
games. Any stands out to you?
The first time I got to go to a Kansas City versus Raiders game, I think I was in middle school. You know, I don't remember much about it, but I remember like the atmosphere itself. I don't think either one of the teams that year was having like a very good year. But I know when that game came around, you know, nobody cared. It was cranked up to the max. It was a great atmosphere to be in. That was probably my all-time favorite one to be around.
You remember who won?
I think it was the Raiders, but I try to forget that part. But, yeah, but it was a good game, though. I loved it.
And you're going to get to play against the Raiders this year. What kind of experience do you feel like that's going to be for you?
I mean, it's great. I have played against the Raiders before, and I mean, you know, it's always kind of a little bit back in my mind, like, I just don't like these guys, I don't like the black and silver, but now this will bring a whole, being in the red and gold, this will bring a whole other dynamic to it, because now, you know, you can really let that emotion kind of well up and flow out of you, you know, representing the city, gotta take it if you're going to play against Oakland.
It's new chief defensive lineman Xavier Williams, one of the guys rotating through. It'll be him and Derek Nnadi in the middle, as far as I can tell. And Williams has the upper hand. I expect him to be starting week one of the preseason, week one of the actual season. Honestly, I would expect him to be starting throughout the season. But I as much as I was confused by the Derek Nnadi drafting whenever there were corners on the board that I would have liked the Chiefs to have gotten after they also had signed Xavier Williams already in free agency, I do really like the duo that they've built there, especially if they ever decide to go with four down linemen, putting those two guys together in the middle with Chris Jones and Alan Bailey on the edges, or either of the pass or any of the outside linebackers out on the edges. You put either of those two down linemen there, and then you put Houston and Speaks up on the edges. You have the flexibility to go with Williams and Chris Jones in the middle, or Bailey and Chris Jones. The flexibility that this team has in its front seven is obnoxious. Honestly, it's obnoxious at this point. Because Hitchens can do a whole bunch of different things. Ragland isn't as versatile, but he is a very good downhill run, a downhill runner from a defensive perspective, obviously. And the defensive line, as I do have some concerns about the edges, if something happens to Alan Bailey or Chris Jones, this defense is really hurting. But as this is healthy, as this defensive line is healthy, which may not last for very long, but while it's healthy, the versatility there in the middle is absolutely stupendous. On the other side of the ball, also on the line, we've heard a lot about the center position as Mitch Morse comes back from injury. We've heard a lot about Cam Irving being able to play all across the line. But one guy who will be keeping his spot, no questions asked, after getting a nice contract extension, and also this offseason, a nice medical degree, it's Laurent Duvernay-Tardif we hear from next year. He started off by talking about what it's like to have the aforementioned Mitch Morse back as a part of this healthy offensive line.
Oh, it's good. It's good to have everybody back on board. And it's crazy when everybody's healthy, you realize how much depth we have and how much competition we have at every spot. So it's really good because that means we challenge ourselves to be the best we can be.
A lot of times offensive linemen will say you got to know what each other is thinking. Do you find that with Mitch Morse and Schwartz now because you got some playing?
Oh, absolutely. We're building a really great chemistry together. And I think, like, with Mitch Schwartz, like, really being good at knowing the front, knowing what's going on, and Mitch Morse, like, just making the right call, for me, it make it easier to just play fast and do whatever I have to do.
You talked about depth. What's it been like with Cam Irving also playing some center, first team reps, and moving over to guard? What's the dynamic? How has that changed the dynamic?
I mean, Cam has been the first backup for the most part of the year last year, and he's been doing a really good job. So I think at the beginning he was playing center, but now that Mitch is back, he's going to try a few different positions, and we need that kind of guys who can play in different position. And, of course, there's a lot of competition for different spots, so we want to see how good we can be as an individual, but also as a line. So we're going to try different combinations to see what's the best one.
Anything stand out to you, block for Pat versus block for Alex?
I mean, Pat is doing a really good job. I mean, the playbook is relatively the same, so it's just a matter of, like, making sure we have good communication, making sure that we identify the right front. Our defense is doing a really good job at mixing and matching different fronts, so we got to make the right ID, the right calls. And, I mean, we're getting there, and it's only day two, and we already feel a progression, so that's a good thing.
Did Ryan Hunter hit it off, considering both kind of representing Canada?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Ryan is, he's been living at my place this summer. He's a good dude, and I really appreciate to be able to speak a little French in the locker room.
Did you reach out to him to become roommates, or how did that work out?
Oh, I mean, obviously, like, there's not that many Canadian in the league, so as soon as somebody showed up, you're like, oh, my God, and plus he's speaking French a little bit, so it's really good to have somebody, like, a teammate that you're closer from.
Have you introduced him to JP Dark? Like, have you guys had dinner together?
Right? Oh, not yet, but I'm sure we will eventually.
You mentioned it being day two. Obviously, you guys have been here longer than that, but when you guys put on the pads, is it almost a different segment of camp? I mean, it seems like today you guys were ramping up a little bit with some of the team stuff, the pass rush stuff. I mean, is it almost a different, you know, portion of camp when you put the pads on and really signal if you guys
Yeah, you're right. I did say day two. No, I think for us, it's just, you know, when you put the pads, especially as an O-line man, you know, it's on, you know, it's 100%, and that's where really you can challenge yourself and compete against the D-line. You get one-on-one, the practice all longer, harder, so that's what you want in order to get better. So I think you really see it different when you jump from, like, being in shells to being full pad.
What goes through your mind when you're trying to block Braylon Speaks?
I mean, he's a pretty good athlete, and I see him more often on third down situation because they love to put him inside. He's a really good player. He has a good combination of strength and agility. So I think he's going to be a key player for us for sure.
Seems like he has that toughness. Does that kind of come through when you're trying to get him?
Yeah, but I'm tough too, so I mean, it's a good battle.
Have you had a chance to sort of give him any feedback? I mean, with the one-on-one stuff, I mean, I think in team drills, I think you put him behind him a minute there.
I don't know. I would have to look at the tape, but we're not going against each other in one-on-one because he's mostly working outside. But I mean, you would have to ask Mitch Morrison or Fisher.
This is early, and I know training camp is partly for fans, but how have fans or just people around Kansas City or in Canada sort of treated you differently or recognized you because of the medical degree now?
I got a lot of support from the fans, both in Kansas City and Montreal and the rest of Canada. And I'm proud of it. I mean, it's a huge accomplishment for me, and it's good to feel that everybody's like supporting what I've been trying to do and respect it. But now it's time to play football, so I got to focus 100% on that.
What have fans said at all to you?
I mean, a lot of like, hey Doc, can I get an autograph? Can you put MD on it? So I mean, I kind of like it.
Is it at least some benefit to put MD on a signature if it can't happen on a uniform necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my way to like symbolize that I'm a doctor, and you know, there's been some discussion, but I think now that everything is over, it's just a matter of like going out there being the best football you can be, and if I can let them know that I'm a doctor by putting MD, good for me, you know.
Do your teammates treat you any differently now that your medical degree is complete? I mean, are they coming to you and saying, hey, this hurts, what's wrong?
No. I think when I'm in the locker room, it's really important for me to really focus on football. They all know that I'm there to be the best football player I can be. And I mean, over the past 4 years, of course, the guys were teasing me a little bit with medical school stuff. But now that it's over, I don't really see a difference. You know, I'm their teammate. I'm Larry, the Frenchman, and that's it.
Anyone else? More with the limited days and pads now that happens with camp, how much more important is it to ramp up that physicality as an offensive lineman when you're given the opportunity to get the pads on because they're so rare now?
I mean, we all know that when it's full pad, it's like a game situation, and you got to take advantage of it. It's really good training, and we all know with like preseason game, you get reps, but you don't get that many reps. So it's important to take the most out of it and learn because, like you said, you don't get that many opportunities.
It's Laurent Duvernay-Tardif from camp this weekend. He's right, by the way, about it's crazy that whenever everyone is there and healthy, you realize how much depth this offensive line has. Lots of people had worries about that opposite guard spot. You feel really good about the right side of the line, even from the middle, being Morse to LDT to Mitchell Schwartz. I still feel pretty good about Eric Fisher as well. We'll hear from him next. But at that left guard spot, it's Parker Inger and Brian Witzman and Cam Irving. And those guys are all really good. And Ryan Hunter, even kind of an interesting name that's probably going to get lost in the shuffle. They just drafted Khalil McKenzie, the defensive lineman. They're turning into a guard. There's a lot of competition there. Again, I think Hunter's a name to keep an eye on who probably will get lost in the shuffle, and Khalil McKenzie's not going to be ready for a year or two. But even just the competition between Cam Irving and Brian Witzman and Parker Anger at that left guard spot makes me feel pretty good about what the Chiefs are doing across this offensive line. I'm excited about it, honestly. Eric Fisher is the guy on the end, though, of the left side, and he was asked in training camp what it's like blocking for Patrick Mahomes versus blocking for Alex Smith.
I think Alex did such a good job being a mentor to Pat last year, and you know, so it's not too much different. I mean, after blocking for Alex for 5 years in a row, you kind of always knew where he was, and I think it's almost a gift that we have to have a mobile quarterback, you know, get out of tight situations sometimes. But no, it's been going awesome. Pat's been doing a great job getting his offense down, and you know, he's leading us out there as a young guy, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's something I don't know if we fully appreciate, the experience that Alex had and how that actually helped the offensive line. He knew where you guys were, you knew where he was going to be, and is that something that a new quarterback's just going to have to develop?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here right now. That's why we do the amount of reps we do. Coach Reed, I mean, he's got his system and it works. I mean, we win football games, and, you know, I think Pat's just going to step right in and, you know, we're going to pick up where we left off.
After you're in your 6 years, been here a while now, what goals do you set for yourself now that you're more so a veteran than you know,
Yeah, for me, it's just, you know, I want to constantly improve. I want to get better. I think know, especially as an offensive lineman, I mean, it's such a technical position. You know, we watch film over and over and over again, and there's little minute things, you know, to take the next level, to take the next level, and, you know, just keep improving on those. And, you know, come out here and work every day.
The AFC West, the other teams, they seem to just be loading up each team on pass rushers. Do you find that maybe this is one of the more tough divisions to go on? How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, I think it has been since, you know, I came in the league. You know, so what an awesome challenge. You know, yeah, some of these guys are they're incredible athletes. It's a challenge for us, you know, but we embrace that challenge. We, you know, we got each other's backs on the offensive line. You know, we help each other out and, you know, we just go to work.
Don't the key to that, just, you know, especially these elite guys, just seeing what you can find out from the film.
Yeah, film, and, you know, I think confidence is a big one. You know, you just need to trust your technique, you know, when you start getting away from things. Sometimes it's more of a challenge than you think. And, you know, but if you stick to what you know and go out there and just do your thing, you know, it usually works out pretty good.
Can you talk about your working against Justin Houston and some of the other outside linebackers, defensive ends on this football team?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I mean, the AFC West is loaded with pass rushers, including the Chiefs. So, you know, Dee Ford and Justin Houston, I mean, obviously giving us a great look. And then we got, you know, some new guys and some younger guys that are, you know, out there battling. And, you know, especially with young guys, I mean, they're out here to prove themselves. And, you know, you get awesome looks from them. And, you know, you just come to work and, you know, have fun with it.
Who wins those battles? 50-50? Is that...
As far as...
When you guys do individual work and you're blocking.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a percentage, but yeah, I mean, they're going to win some, we're going to win. You know, our job is to stop them every single play. So, you know, it kind of works in the NFL where, you know, you make 99 blocks and then they get one. They did their job, and, you know, we did our job for the most part.
With all these different running backs sort of coming in and out with the first unit, does it impact at all how you block for different guys or adjusting to different running back lines?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the running back room, it's loaded with talent right now, and, you know, they should all be on the same page just like we should all be on the same page. And, you know, we hold each other accountable. They expect us to be on our block when we're supposed to be, and we expect them to be in the gap and making the reads that, you know, they're supposed to. So, you know, it's going good, and, you know, it's an awesome competition to watch because, like I said, it's stacked with talent in that room.
Is there a discernible difference for you as a lineman in the different running styles, or is it just blocking no matter what?
You know, I mean, we have, you know, a few different schemes we run, and, you know, it's just you take the coaching and you go out there and you execute.
Eric, you've seen a couple of left guards, you know, they're trying to figure out who it's going to be. Is that a challenge for you working with just different players, whether it's Hinger or Irving?
Yeah, I mean, you know, through my 6 year or going into the 6th year here, I've played next to quite a few. So I've gotten used to, you know, new guys stepping in. And, you know, I think one thing about this, you know, group we have here is, like, we've been together for the last 3 to 4 years. We haven't had the same core group of guys. And, you know, so we just build off each other. Another guy steps in. And, you know, but that's how it goes in the season. You know, a guy goes down and someone comes in. We experienced that over the last couple of years, and, you know, we just embrace it, and we stick together and go out and battle.
That's left tackle Eric Fisher, who I think is honestly one of the most interesting guys on this Chiefs roster from the perspective of how much his expectations and his draft status have changed how we talk about him. If that was Eric Fisher, 6th-round draft pick, I think we would be looking at his play on a weekly basis as a miracle. Looking at him as former number one overall pick, I think will always haunt him. Even paying him as much as he's being paid, I think if he was even a 3rd or 4th round pick, maybe even a 2nd, maybe even a late 1st, we'd be looking at him so differently. Because he's not a dominant left tackle, but he's a pretty fine one. But being a number one overall pick, even in a year when there was no clear-cut number one guy, the guy who went 2nd, Luke Jokel, never really performed on an NFL level. I think it's fascinating how that's affected what we think of him on a day-to-day basis. But that was him out in St. Joe. You're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. My name is Joshua Briscoe. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from special teams coach Dave Tobe as we wrap up shop on Chiefs Central. Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, giving you everything you need to know from St. Joe. Now I'm leaning into the rhyme. I can't help it. And I want to get you straight to Dave Tobe here. I probably could have worked in a Dave Tobe rhyme at the first part as well, but we're just going to power on forward. I want to get to Dave Tobe really quickly because He, as the Chiefs special teams coach, is in a really interesting position this year. As the kickoff rules continue to evolve, he has to continue to evolve as well. I think you could say that he is arguably the consensus best special teams coach in football. Harbaugh was a special teams coach, is now a head coach, performing really well in Baltimore, although not as well in recent years, I suppose. But purely as a special teams coach, and eventually a guy that I still expect to end up getting a head coaching job, although I thought he was going to end up in Indianapolis this year, honestly. The Chiefs are lucky to have him, and he has a bunch of interesting guys around him that really can lend themselves to a tremendous special teams unit. That's what Tobe is here for, and he was asked in St. Joe who he's most excited to see in the preseason.
The guy that stands out in my mind right now is Tremont, he's really coming on as a corner. He's also, we're really developing him as a returner, you know, as a kick returner and punt returner. And he showed a little punt returner skills today, the way he catches the ball and gets, you know, he's gets at a top speed so fast. You know, it's pretty impressive. Can't wait to see him in a game. Other guys like Del Daniel, you know, I really like to see him, the linebacker, number 44. He's got great speed. Really excited about him. Ben Naaman, another guy, really, really coming on as a linebacker. He was a free agent from Iowa. Excited about seeing him in the game. So, you know, the games are the most important thing for us, you know, on special teams, where we can really evaluate tackling, blocking. And so until we get to that game, which is not that far away now, like nine days or so, you know, we'll learn a lot more about these guys, and we're excited about seeing them.
Did Naaman do much of that in college?
A little bit, but he played. You know, he was a starter and got a lot of reps. He played outside linebacker for them. In fact, one game when Jewel got hurt, you know, the kid, the linebacker that played inside, he played inside linebacker in one game for him. When he started for him, he had 15 tackles. So, I mean, he's a player. He's a football player, and he's got great speed, and he's got good size, and we're excited.
Coach, with all the rule changes this year with the kickoff, how does that change what you're evaluating when you're out here?
It really doesn't change much as far as that goes. The things that we have to look at is we have to figure out what other teams are going to try to do so we can make matchups for them, like on kickoff return. Do we have to have faster guys up on the front line to be able to get back to block? And I think that's my hunch, is that that's what we're going to have to do. So we've been doing that. We've been practicing that. You know, we kind of got a leg up on the new rules and stuff because we knew it was coming. So we've been practicing on it for a long time. We're kind of looking forward to seeing it in live action, though. See what happens.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Back to Smith for a second.
Jamal.
How much of that did he do in college?
Not a lot. The thing about it, what makes me so excited about him is the fact that he hasn't done a lot of it, and we feel like he's just scratching the surface as far as he gets better and better every day. He's a real good catcher, really good first step, and you know, you never know what a guy's going to do until he has live bullets coming down and trying to tackle him. So we got to wait and see. We're excited.
When did you identify him as someone that could do this? I mean, was this the thought when he was drafted, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got great speed. I mean, he's a 4.3 guy, legit. I mean, he's fast. You know, he's not as fast as Tyreek. I mean, that's a whole nother level, but he's very, very fast. He's probably our second fastest player. And you've seen some talent. That, you know, he didn't do it a lot in college, but you've seen burst. You've seen it. You don't have to see a lot of clips to see talent. And we noticed that, and the scouts did a good job, you know, evaluating this guy and bringing him in, and we're glad we got him in the sixth round.
Is it going to be more evolving? Exactly how you guys are going to attack it strategically once you get through preseason and going into the season? Just because you haven't had film, you haven't really seen it full speed yet.
Yeah, right now we're thinking. You know, it's obviously going to be more an exciting play. We think there's going to be more returns because there's a lot of space back there now. You know, you have all eight guys up front, and there's not a lot of guys back. So the returner is going to catch the ball, and there's not going to be a lot of guys right on him immediately. So he's going to be more apt to want to take it out. You know, the whole idea of the new rule is to make the play safer. So I think it's going to be an exciting play, and it's also going to be a safer play.
Do you have an idea in your head of just who's going to get the first crack at kick return for you guys?
In the first game?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I have a lot of. I don't want to say anything right now. It's just way too early.
Punt return still Tyreek.
Oh yeah. Tyreek is by far the best punt returner we have, and I want him back there at all times.
And then it's just looking like a deeper room when it comes to the younger wide receivers. I think it's going to be tough.
There's a lot of tough. It's going to be hard to make our football team.
And just out of the younger receivers on
special teams? You know, I have to go back to a guy, and he's got some experience, but Kemp is doing really well. I mean, Chesson, I love Chesson. He's a great special teams player. You know, you hope those guys excel, you know, in, as a wide receiver, but there's a lot of competition over there. There's a lot of young players and, you know, Braverman and Dieter. And, I mean, there's just one guy after the other. So, you know, that's a good thing that, you know, Veach, you know, Britt Veach has really developed here is a lot of competition. It's going to make us better.
David, with how important film study is, can you maybe speak to the uniqueness of not having much to go off of with the new rules?
There's plenty of preseason games. We'll have a really good feel for what it's going to look like, you know, by the time we get to game one. We have an idea. You know, we've been practicing it. So there's only so many things you can do. I mean, you have to have eight guys up and three guys deep. There's only so many things you can do, you know, schematically. You know, so we have a thought of what it's going to look like, but we'll know a lot more after even one preseason game. You know, because we'll look at everybody. We'll see what everybody did in the league. You know, and all, there's a lot of reps going to be happening there, so we'll get a good feel for it. And then also how the referee is going to officiate it, you know, because, you know, there's some things there with the kickoff team. You know, you can't move, you know, and if you're stepping as the before the kicker kicks the ball, it's going to be an offsides. And so you got to be in stationary position. So there's a lot of, you know, idiosyncrasies there where we're going to see how the referees officiate it. I mean, I think that's probably the most important thing.
Do you expect some turbulence with that early on?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of flags during preseason until everybody figures it out, and there'll probably be some calls down from New York. Hey, we don't want that call. We want this call. You know, until they iron it out. But I mean, that's what the preseason's for.
Being one of the guys who helped change the rules, are you eager to see what Belichick's, the Harbaugh's, the weather are doing with
the I think they're all on board. You know, we wanted to keep kickoff in the game. I mean, everybody was on board with that. So. Whatever it took to keep kickoff in the game, I think everybody's going to understand what we were trying to do with the rule and not try to circumvent the rule.
Got it.
I mean, that's what we hope. I mean, that's what we hope happens.
What are your thoughts on DeAnthony Thomas right now?
DeAnthony is tough. He's tough as nails. You know, he got hurt on a punt return, you know, and which I feel horrible about. But he's coming back. He's a tough guy. He's going to be out there. I mean, he got a little banged up. You know, we kept him out today, but he'll be back out tomorrow. You know, it's just good to have him back. Yeah, I like him a lot.
That's Chiefs special teams coach Dave Tobe, arguably the best in the business and probably hard to argue for just about anybody else at this point. This unit is really interesting because I think the Chiefs know that they have one of the best in the business, so they give him a little bit of a treat here or there, saying, all right, you know what, we're going to go ahead and hold this guy on the roster who's not going to contribute offensively or defensively as much as another guy may, but who's going to be a dominant force in your special teams unit. I think DeAnthony Thomas, who we mentioned there, as long as his injury rehab comes along well and he stays healthy, he's going to be one of those guys. Jehu Chesson's going to be one of those guys, or at least maybe one of those guys. All of the rookies, especially, you know, in the back half of the draft, are going to be able to be a part of this special teams unit. And I would imagine that Dave Tobe is really excited about the guys that he has in the building. We're out of time here on Sports Radio 810. This has been Chiefs Central. We'll be back again tomorrow night, after all the festivities, everything else across 810 wraps up. Then we'll be here to close out the night. I'm Josh Abrisco. Thanks to Charlie Carlin for keeping us on air all evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye, Mom.